Morning. Today's daf in Chulin is Ayin Hey. We're in Ayin Dal Amud Beis. We are towards the middle of the Amud. We're starting today. Let's go above on. Amute Rebbe Chosh Amar Rebbe Shimon Ben Lakish.
Here we go.
Halfway down on the Amud Ayin Dal Amud Beis. First word in the line is Lamute Rebbe V'Chorish Bo. And we're starting with the words Amar Rebbe Shimon Ben Lakish. Today in daf Ayin Hey represents the last formal official day in which we're going to be discussing the halachos of Ben Pekua. It's been some ride since we started the perek on Samaches, so the fourth perek of the Masechta, so we discussed the halachos of Ben Pekua. And today is formally, officially, the final section of it. And tomorrow, the Mishnah takes us back to the world of Treifas. So the... And soon enough, we're finishing the fourth perek. And then from that point going forward, we're going to be basically covering chapter by chapter, new discussion by new discussion. Fifth parak Osa Vespino, sixth parak Kisu Adam, seventh parak Gid Anasha. Like, from that point going forward, it's like so super organized, the Masechta. In the meantime, however, we're discussing the Lachas Ben Pekua, and we find ourselves involved in a number of machloksim regarding how to view the fetus inside of the mother, vis-a-vis the mitzvah of Shechita, the requirement of Shechita. And in yesterday's daf, in yesterday's mishnah, we also discussed it vis-a-vis the halachas of the chelev of the fetus. Are we or are we not allowed to eat the chelev of the fetus? The chelev of an animal, of course, is aser. It's an issur d'oraisa to eat the chelev of an animal. But when it comes to that of a fetus, so it's not clear whether or not it's aser or it's mutter. What's the issue really contingent on? So again, it goes back to the basic question of how to understand from a conceptual standpoint the fetus inside the mother. Fetus inside the mother is an independent entity. It just happens to be right now it's in the mother, but it's independent. And so therefore it's an animal in of itself. And so therefore, of course, the chelev would be aser. If, however, the fetus is just simply considered an organ of the mother, right? And I'd say an extremity of the mother, but it's internal. So let's compare it to just simply another organ of the mother. So if it's just an organ of the mother, so then its chelev doesn't qualify as official chelev. So what do we see in the Mishnah? So what we saw in the Mishnah is what wasn't super clear. The Mishnah, if you remember, on the bottom of Ayin Dalam Adalef brought down, if you find an animal, says the Mishnah, that is a not full term, or it was full term but it wasn't alive, so then what you do is you just simply remove the blood. And the rest of it, you'd be allowed to eat. However, matzah babatisha chai, but if you find a 9-month, a full-term animal inside, and it was alive, so it requires shechita in of itself, and there'd be nisr vosav espano. That's the opinion of Rav Meir. Masha'inkin, according to the Chachamim, that too is also going to be considered niter b'shechitas imo, and shechitas imo matar raso. What you don't get from the Mishnah is that, according to the Chachamim, at full term, is the chelev of this animal going to be aser, is it going to be mutter? Wasn't clear. Wasn't clear from the Chachamim whether the chelev would be aser or would be mutter. In the Gemara yesterday, what we opened up with is a discussion amongst the Amoraim, what would be the status of the chelev according to the Chachamim. So we had the viewpoints of Reish Lakish and that of Rav Yochanan, and that is currently where we are in the Gemara. Amar Shimon Malakish. We are picking it right up right where we left off yesterday in the Gemara in Ayin Dal Amud Beis. L'divrei amati b'chalba amati b'damo. L'divrei osa b'chalba osa b'damo. So Reish Lakish would like to create the following correlation. Anyone who says that the chelev is going to be mutter is also going to be matur the dam as well. And the one who says that the chelev is going to be also is going to be also the dam as well. Meaning, according to Reish Lakish, the two normally prohibited products of an animal or products in an animal, so they go hand in hand. If there is an isser chelev, there's an isser dam. If there's no isser chelev, there's no isser dam. And again, it goes back to the point that we made just a moment earlier, meaning that if it's just simply another organ of the animal, so then we're going to treat it like any other organ of the animal. There's no isser chelev. Now, it's interesting, where there normally is an isser dam even in the avarim as well. But again, we're just going to look at the fetus as a separate entity. Masha'in kain, that's if you hold that it's all going to be mutter. And then if it's all going to be aser, the chelev and the dam is going to be aser as well. So Eitzvei Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish. So Rav Yochanan says to Reish Lakish, I don't understand. Kori Mot says Damo. Remember the Mishnah? We just reviewed it. The Mishnah says that according to Rav Meir, who is a more machmir shita, he says you have to remove the blood of the fetus. So Amar of Zeru Lamar Shein Enosh Karis. So he says, oh, and he just simply meant that there's no Isser of Karis. So Laman Kamre, La Rabbi Yehuda, so Lo Yehei El Adam Tamsis. So the Gemara says, now, you're telling me that there's no Isser Karis. Now, in order to understand and facilitate the upcoming Gemara, let's just give a quick crash course in blood of an animal. Blood of an animal can be broken up into three different categories. Category number one is Dama Nefesh. When you shecht an animal, there's a rush of blood that comes out of the neck, and that's what's called Dama Nefesh. According to everybody, that Dama is Aser with an Isser Karis. Now, after that point in time, you press on the animal, more blood's going to come out. That's what's called Dama Tamsis. Debatable whether that for sure is Aser. Sorry, let's start like this. For sure the Dama Tamsis is Aser. Debatable whether it's an Isser Karis or not an Isser Karis. And finally, what we get to is the Dem Evarim, right? After we've squeezed out all the blood, all the vascular blood, then in the limbs, in the organs, you're going to be having blood that still is present in the various muscles and organs. That's what's called Dem Evarim. That's an Isser Daraisa, but certainly not an Isser Karis, to eat that, to consume that blood. Okay, so those are your three categories of blood, Dem Nefesh, Dem Tamsis, and Dem Evarim. So where are we on Dama Tamsis? So as I pointed out just a moment ago, Machlokis, whether it is an Isser Karis or it's just an Isser Lav. What the Gemara now is suggesting is that when we said that Motzei is Damo, all we meant in the Mishnah is that it's not an Isser Karis, it's just an Isser Lav. So the Gemara says, interesting. So you're telling me, Laman Kamri, La Rav Yehuda, Lo Yehei, La Dama Tamsis. So the Gemara says, so at best, what are we talking about over here? We're talking about Dama Tamsis, meaning the Gemara is not entertaining for a moment that the fetus inside of the mother has Dama Nefesh. Now, presumably the reason why is because there's no Shechita requirement for the animal, so therefore there's no Dama Nefesh. I presume that's the reason why the Gemara is assuming that we can't be talking about Dama Nefesh. But there's certainly vascular blood, and that we're going to call Dama Tamsis. So the Gemara is telling me now that what we did is in our Mishnah is we just dropped it down from Nisr Karis to just a Lav, on Dama Tamsis. Mm-hmm. Who holds by Dama Tamsis that there's an Isser Karis? So that's Rav Yehuda. So the Gemara says, that's interesting. So Lo Yehei Ela Dama Tamsis, Titania Dama Tamsis, Bazar Rav Yehuda Amar Bikaris. So here the Gemara brings in the Machlokis between the Chachamim and Rav Yehuda in terms of the status of Dama Tamsis. Chachamim say it's an Isser Lav. Rav Yehuda says it's an Isser Karis. So the Gemara says, you're telling me now that all we're doing in our Mishnah is bringing it from an Isser Karis down to an Isser Lav. But in order to do that, you have to have our Mishnah going like Rav Yehuda. And that's uncomfortable. Because Rav Yehuda is only a Shitas Yachin on this issue. The Chachamim obviously are the majority / accepted position. So that's very strange. That's how you're learning up our Mishnah. So the Gemara continues. Tir Gemara Rav Yosef, Bered Rav Salah, Chasida, Kamed Rav Papa, Israel Rav Yehuda, Dam V'chol Dam. So the Gemara says, even according to Rav Yehuda, in our scenario over here, there's not going to be an Isser Karis on the Dam Tamsis. Why? Interesting. Because according to Rav Yehuda, why is there an Isser Karis on Dam Tamsis? So the way Rashi presents it over here, he learns it out based on a Ribui HaKra. Meaning the Torah tells us that there's an Isser Karis on Dam Nefesh. The Torah says, V'chol Hadam. According to Rav Yehuda, the V'chol Hadam is telling me, not only is Dama Nefesh going to have an Isser Karis, but also Dama Tamsis as well. But in other words, so Dama Tamsis is an Isser Karis, but because it's an extension of the Dama Nefesh. When there's Dama Nefesh, which is an Isser Karis, there's also be Dama Tamsis which has an Isser Karis as well. What the Gemara now is informing us is that according to Rav Yehuda, if there is no Dama Nefesh, so then there's not going to be an Isser Karis on the Dama Tamsis. Meaning the Isser Karis on the Dama Tamsis is almost like a tuffel to the Iker. The Iker, of course, being the Dama Nefesh. By a animal, a fetus inside of the mother, because there's no Dama Nefesh, so by definition, that means that according to Rav Yehuda, there's also no Karis on the Dama Tamsis as well. That, the Gemara says, is the Chiddush of the Mishnah. And again, the entire reason why we went through this entire exercise is just simply to point out that when our Mishnah says the removal of the blood, it doesn't mean that necessarily there's a difference between the blood and the chaylev. It just simply means that the blood is not an Isser Karis, it's just an Isser Lav. Okay, period. Ibai lehu. Okay, now where do we stand right now? According to the Chachamim, let's refresh. According to the Chachamim, if I have a shecht of the mother and there was inside of the mother a full term live fetus, so according to the Chachamim, that still has the status of nita b'shechitas imo, shechtin. We could take it out alive. It's okay, shechtin. Now, as I pointed out over the entire sugya, and here now we're going to really see the extremities of this position. It comes out to become one of the strangest halachas that we could possibly perceive. We now have delivered this animal, and meanwhile the animal shechted. Good, and the animal now could walk around your farm for the next 5 years, and that is a shechted animal walking around your farm. Now, for sure, let's cut out the ridiculous. For sure, you cannot take a bite out of that animal, and that's what we could, I guess we can call it Avram and Achai. That's it. Obviously, needs to be put to death before you eat it. We're going to be discussing later on this morning whether or not there is any kind of formal shechita that's required for such an animal, even though it's already shechted. We'll come back to that point later on. But in the meantime, however, you have now an animal that is a shechted animal. Again, we're assuming like the Chachamim, not like Rabbi Meir. Good. And so now what the Gemara wants to do is basically, let's see where else in halacha this could like play any kind of role. We have now a live animal that's shechted. Good. So the Gemara starts off the questions with the following. How about taking this live animal, let's say it's a sheep, and use it now for the mitzvah of pidyon peter chamor. So you have a firstborn donkey that's born in your flock, so that firstborn donkey has kedusha. You need to redeem it. How do you redeem it? So actually, there's a couple ways you can redeem it. First and foremost, you can redeem it with money. Take its value, transfer it onto money, and good. But the Torah also says at the end of Parshas Bo, there's another way to redeem it, and that is pidyon biseh. You could redeem it against a sheep. In other words, take a sheep, redeem it against the petach chamor. The kedusha of the bechor, the petach chamor now, is going to go onto the sheep. And what's the advantage of doing onto a sheep? So Rashi over here points out, we're going to see it together in the Gemara Becharos, the sheep does not have to have dollar for dollar value. As long as it's a sheep animal, so then you can redeem it against the petach chamor. Good. What if the sheep that we want to redeem it with is our ben pekuah, which is, yes, a sheep, but it's already been shechted, even though it's alive and well. Can I use it now for a petach chamor, for pidyon petach chamor? Good. That's our Gemara's question. Now, according to Rabbi Meir, the question doesn't even get off the ground. Of course he can. Rabbi Meir holds that this animal is not nita b'shechita simo. It does require its own shechita and be done with it. Meaning, there's no discussion to be even had. Of course, it's a regular animal. So maybe even though it's walking around, but halachically we view it as basically meat in the pot, right? You see that animal over there? It's halachically dinner, right? It's not, huh?
Let it be shavu kesef.
Okay, good. So Rashi points out, enachinami, meaning if it's shavu kesef, if it's equal to the chamor, so then of course it can be poda. But in other words, but we want to know, does it operate like a seh, where it doesn't need to be shavu kesef? Oh, Dilma came into the right vasel, the right vasi seh karinim bay. On the other hand, you cannot deny the fact that it's running around your farm right now. Mm-hmm. And so it's going that way, and it's running that way, and it's an animal. It's a seh. So the Gemara says, Marzutra Amarim Poden, Ravashi Amar Poden. So the Gemara brings down a machlokas Amarim, whether or not we could be poded with such a set. Meaning, a full-term animal that was extracted out of its mother after the mother was shechted, and we're holding like the Chachamim, where it has the status now of a ben pakua, where it doesn't require shechita. Can I now use it for pidyon petach chamor? Machlokas Amarim. Amale Ravashi Lamarzutra Maidai Tach, the Gemara says, seh. So he says, now what's your hesitation? Why are you against this idea? Oh, because you're learning out Gzeira Shava. Is that what you're thinking? Gzeira Shava from the Karban Pesach. So imalalan zachar tamim ben shana afkan zachar tamim ben shana. So he says, you know, if you're learning out your Gzeira Shava from Karban Pesach, you know there's a lot of requirements regarding the set of Karban Pesach. It has to be within its first year. It has to be male. So you're telling me now, if that's your Gzeira Shava, so all the halachas should be true, and correct based on the Gzera Shava. So tifta riba. So the Gemara says, yeah, but in the mitzvah of pidyon petra chamor, there's also a ribui of how many times the Torah says to be redeem it. Torah says it multiple times, which means the Torah says it under more than any occasion. I don't need to be confined and constrained to the limitations of the Karban Pesach. So the Gemara says, tifta riba, afil kol milanami. So the Gemara says, really interesting. So you're telling me that there's a ribui of tifta, which means now that according to you, we don't have to be so limited in terms of what we can redeem with. Anything that is set-like in quality, why does it even have to be alive according to you? Why not? Well, if I go to my freezer, I'll take out a couple pieces of lamb, right? I'll take out the shanks, and I'll redeem my petach hamor with those. Ah, you're telling me it's not a live animal? Who needs a live animal? Tifta, it's a ribui. So im kein ses temai hanilach. So the Gemara says it's a balancing act. On one hand, the Torah is makvid that it has to be a sheep, with the formal definition of a sheep. It says that multiple times. It also says tifta multiple times. So we're basically balancing where it has to be a live sheep, but at the same time, we are more open to the idea of what we can redeem with. So on one hand, it has to be a live sheep. It can't be a dead sheep. So fine. So I can't take out my lamb shanks from my freezer and use it for pigeon. It has to be live. If it has to be live, doesn't have to follow the same halachas of Karban Pesach? No, tifta. And so we're somewhere in the middle. And while now we're debating somewhere in the middle, so where is our ben pakua stand? Is it closer to a live animal, or is it closer to a dead animal? On one hand, it's physically alive. On the other hand, it's already shechted. That's why we have a machlokas. Ibailu. Ma'al limnos ben risha v'sheni. Okay, Tumat Tahara, questions on Tumat Tahara. Are we going to count it as a Rishon and as a Sheni? What is the Gemara's question over here? Look at Rashi. Nitma behem ashchuta. Ma'u limnos a Rishon uben teschai shebe bitna Sheni. So let's say you have an animal that was shechted, and you have a fetus in utero. So in terms of Tumat Tahara, is that now two items? Or is it one item? Now, in halacha, we all know that whenever transmission of tumah goes from one item to a second item, so it always drops down a level. That is the basic rules of transmission of tumah. Over here, when we have an animal that was shechted, so obviously now that it's shechted, it is now ready to be mekabel tumah. Now, there is a heksher requirement. We'll get to that in just a moment. But the fetus inside now, is that part and parcel of the mother? And so therefore, that is a... the whole thing is one singular item, or is the fetus inside considered something which is separate? It's a separate entity. We're actually going to get to that. Rav Yochanan Amar Monim Bo Rishon V'Sheni. Rav Yochanan says that we count it as one and two. Rav Shimon Malakish Amar Ein Monim Bo Rishon V'Sheni. And Reish Lakish says no, we don't count it as one and two. We count it as one item. Why? Why do we count as one item? Because basically the analogy over here of a fetus inside of its mother is like the nut inside of its shell. What is a shell? The shell is a shomer. In the halacha of Tumat Tahara, a shomer is just simply a facilitator for the nut that's inside. We do not view it as two separate items, but the shomer is there to service that which is inside and therefore viewed as one entity. Here, too, the relationship between the shechted mother and the fetus inside is that, according to Reish Lakish, of a shell to the nut. Eitzvei Reish Shimon Lakish L'Rav Yochanan, the Gemara says, interesting. Let's go back to our Mishnah. Habasa Maganavela Divra Mer V'chachamam Omri Magatrefa. So, Magatrefa Shchuta. So we go back to our Mishnah, and the Mishnah, once again, deals with the debate between Rav Meir and the Chachamim about the fetus who had an extended limb outside of the mother, and the mother was shechted. The contents of the mother, of course, are all mutter. The limb that was held outside during the shechita is what? According to Rav Meir, the limb is an avela, and according to the Chachamim, the limb is a trefa that is shechted, meaning it's not tameh. Now, bishlam elidi dida min echad gufahu haynu diz kasher bedama diimei. Now, I'm sorry, and let me just add one other point that the Mishnah already clearly stated. And the fetus that's inside is viewed as if it came into contact with its limb, which, by the way, it did. In other words, the limb and the fetus are still physically connected. And so according to Rav Meir, because the limb is a nevela, the fetus inside is a maga nevela. It came into contact with nevela. Remember earlier we asked the question that Tumas Beis Hastarim, the contact between the two was not on the surface area, but rather on the interior area. We already tackled that question earlier. But anyway, according to Rav Meir, the animal inside is susceptible to Tuma because it touched the limb outside. Masha'inkin, according to the Chachamim, it's the limb outside is not a nevela, but still it's maga trefa, but still there is contact. Now the Gemara says now, the fetus inside is going to become tame according to Rav Meir, and according to the Chachamim, is not going to become tame, but only because the limb itself is not tame. But in other words, in principle, that fetus inside could become tame. Fetus inside, how did it become mukshir lekabel tuma? So Reish Lakish says, for me, it's perfect. Because the fetus inside is connected to the mother, and the mother was just shechted. There's blood all over the place. The blood is touching the mother. So therefore, the mother is mukshir lekabel tuma with the blood. And the fetus inside is a singular entity with the mother vis-a-vis the halachas of tuma and tahara.
Even though it's alive.
With the fetus?
Yeah.
Let's say right now the fetus is not alive. Let's make it easier. Uh-huh. Make it easier for all of us. Okay? So, Bishlam alididi damin achad gufu yihana dizkash badamadi yimei. Good. So, as far as I'm concerned, it makes perfect sense. Mm-hmm. However, lidid chabba mais kasher. But for you, Rav Yochanan, you view from a tuma tahara standpoint, the mother is one entity, and the fetus is a second entity. If the mother is mukshir lekabel tuma, that's great. But that hechsher is only for the mother, not for the fetus inside. How did the fetus then become tame? Amar le b'shchita, uchi Rabbi Shimon. So he says, well, we know that the mother was shechted. We also know that the fetus was shechted as well. As we went over a number of times, one way to look at the fetus inside is that just like there's a shechita on the mother, the shechita also applies to the fetus inside. And even though, according to Rabbi Shimon, shechita by itself is a machshir, even if it's bloodless. Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, another question now, but this direction, this time we're going from the direction of Rabbi Yochanan to Reish Lakish, Avar Benahar. Let's say we had the following scenario. We have a Ben Pekua. The animal was the product of its mother being shechted while inside of its mother. The fetus was at full term, the fetus was alive, the fetus was delivered. And once again, we are back on the topic of a shechted animal that's walking around. Avar Benahar. And now this animal walks through the river. So now you know what just happened with this animal?
Yes.
Hechsher. The animal now is mukshir lekabel tuma. Halach leveis akfaris nitma. And now it's on its next path, next leg of its journey, it walks through a cemetery. Now this animal is tame. Now I know, as do you, that live animals are not makabel tuma. But again, though, and this is where this perek becomes super enjoyable, this animal is not alive. It's walking around. There's a heartbeat. There's circulation. There's even breathing. That's wonderful. Okay? Great. But the animal is a shechted animal. And so therefore, when it walks through the river, it's mukshir lekabel tuma. When it walks through the basic forest, it's actually tame. Now, Bishlam lo. So Rav Yochanan says, now perfect, because I maintained that the fetus, while inside of the mother, and even though the mother was mukshir lekabel tuma, but that doesn't extend to the fetus, so as far as I'm concerned, I get the whole picture. The only time, the first time in its life that's going to be mukshir lekabel tuma is only when it walked through that river. Good. But according to you, Reish Lakish, where you view the mother and the fetus as one singular entity, legabi tuma tahara, so when the mother was shechted, so the mother now was mukshir lekabel tuma, as is the fetus as well. And so we didn't need this little leg of the trip where the animal now is walking through the river. And why did the Braisa say that's a necessary component? It's a strong question against Reish Lakish. So, but ela dichad amar chad gufa hu ais kasher bidam di ime. So the Gemara, in defense of Reish Lakish, says the following, as we now turn to the top of Ayin Ha'Amud Aleph. B'shchita yevishta u'delo k'Rabbi Shimon. Maybe the Bryce is talking about the following Lukimta. Now, granted, it's a stretch, but the Gemara is defending Reish Lakish. So the Lukimta could go like this. When the mother was shechted, it was a bloodless shechita. And the author of the Bryce does not subscribe to Rabbi Shimon, so there was no heksher for the mother. There was no blood. Shechita does not render heksher. And that's why the fetus that was extracted from the inside needs its own heksher. Granted, a bit of a stretch, but again, we're looking in to defend Reish Lakish. Okay. Mantan Avra Benar Huchshar Holech LeBeisak Vard Nitma.
Rabbi Yochanan, that's based on Rabbi Yochanan, the Ben Pekuda can become Tameh.
Yeah.
You mean like a live animal you see?
Yeah, okay. In fact, just wait 1 second. Okay. Tana Avra Benar Huchshar Holech LeBeisak Vard Nitma. The Gemara now says, interesting Brisa. What an interesting Brisa. We have now our Ben Pekuah, who's walking along, walks through a river, good, Heksher. Then walks into a Beis HaKvaros, now is Tamei. So that's so interesting. Before the animal is actually put dead, the animal's alive, but it's still now going to A, be Mukhshar L'Kabel Tumah, and B, now actually become Tamei, and it's not physically dead. Halachically, it's dead. So interesting. The Gemara goes on to say, I'm Rav Yochanan, Rav Yosef Glili, Ditanya. So Rav Yochanan says yes, meaning all this to this, of course, is yes. Meaning, when we say yes, by the way, the Braisa says it. Meaning, there's no way around the fact that the Braisa says it. But the question now, what the Gemara is dealing with is, what principles and who is the authorship of this Braisa in which we're following these positions? So Rav Yochanan says, look, here's what we're going to do. We're going to align the Braisa together with the opinion of Rav Yosef Glili. Detanya, Rishim Ben Lazar Omer, Rishim Rav Yosef Glili, Metami Thomas Ochlin, Vitzar Chechsha. According to Rav Yosef Aglili and Rabbi Shimon Malazar, but really it's said in the name of Yosef Aglili, this animal is Ochlin, and therefore subject to Tumas Ochlin. And the Chachamim say, no, it's alive, and therefore it's not going to be subject to Tumas Ochlin. Oh, Tumas Ochlin is only for those things which are currently edible, and this is not currently edible. So interesting, a fascinating machlokas between the Tanayim in terms of how to view the susceptibility of Tuma to our Ben Pekua. We are all in agreement that the animal is a shechted animal, halachically. We're also all in agreement that the animal is alive. So in terms of Tuma Tahara, where do we stand? Is it susceptible to Tuma, yes or no? And understandably, now the Tanayim are arguing on this very issue. And Rav Yosef Aglili says, look, it's a live animal, but it's dead. It's dead, it's shechted already. Good, and therefore it's subject to Tuma. And the Chachamim simply disagree. Now Rav Yochanan over here is consistent in that Amar Rav Yochanan. Rav Yosef Glili Beit Shammai Omrim Davar Echad. That Rav Yosef Glili and Beit Shammai are both linked to the same fundamental principle. Now Rav Yosef Glili Hadamar. Now we already went over the sheet of Rav Yosef Glili. Our Ben Pekua animal, even as it walks around, but because it's halachically dead, it's susceptible to tuma even at this point in time. While it's physically alive but halachically dead, susceptible to tuma sochlin. Where are we going to now string him together with Beit Shammai and the following? Didnan, the Gemara here quotes a Mishnah from Uktzin of all Mishnayos. Dagim me'amasam mekabel tuma. At what point in time is a fish mekabel tuma? A fish while swimming in the river obviously is a live creature and not susceptible to tuma. Once you take the fish out of the water and cook it, plate it, it's now food and it's susceptible to tuma. Now there's some gray area in between, meaning you put it on, you throw it onto the boat. Okay, is it alive? Yes. But right now with not a good prognosis. Okay? So what now is the halachic status of susceptibility of tuma at this point in time? And here we go, machlokes. So Beit Shammai Omrim Mishiyat Sodu, Beit Hillel Omrim Mishiyamusu. And so Beit Shammai says, we look at the point in which it's in the net. Now, is the net in the water? Is the net out of the water? I'll suggest, I'm not sure if I'm right, but I'll suggest it's already out of the water. But still, and the fish is now flipping around, flailing, but it's still alive. Beit Shammai says that's enough, meaning it's enough vis-a-vis its susceptibility to Tumas Ochlin. Just like, you see the mashal? Just like our discussion of our Ben Pekua. Now granted, by the way, it's a little bit of a stretch in terms of a comparison, because our Ben Pekua animal is alive, well, and healthy. and in terms of a prognosis, you know, it could go for a long time. The fish in the net is alive but not well, and its prognosis is not good. Without being in the water, right? I can render a medical decision, which is it doesn't have a long time to live. Good. So I understand it's not exactly the same, but at least it's somewhat comparable. So Rabbi Kiva Amar Mishash Ein Yecholim Lach. I'm sorry. Beis Shammai Amar Mishiyat Tzur, Beis Hillel Amar Mishiyat Musu, and Beis Hillel says no. For the fish to become susceptible to Tumas Ochlin, it has to be dead. And Rabbi Kiva Amar Mishash Ein Yecholim Lach. And Rabbi Akiva says, from the point where, even if I threw it back in the water, there's no chance that it will resuscitate. Now, my Binah, the Gemara now wants to know, what is going to be the difference between Rabbi Akiva and Beis Hillel? They seem to be basically saying the same thing. I'm Rav Yochanan Dag Makartea Ika Beinayu. And the Gemara says, of course, there is just but a subtle difference between the two. Makartea Rashi explains as Mifar Par. Well, in other words, where the fish is flailing. In other words, it's dried and flailing. So at this point in time, is it dead? No. In other words, it still has a little bit of life left in it. If I throw back into the water, is it going to resuscitate? No. So according to Rabbi Akiva, at this point in time, it's subject to Tumas Ochlin, and Beis Hillel says, not until it stops flailing. By Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda has really interesting question. Nolda bedugim simani treif amahu. Can a fish be treif? Now, put the question in its proper perspective. When the Gemara is asking whether or not a fish can be treif, we're not asking whether or not there is a status of a treifa by a fish in which we can and cannot eat it, right? Nowhere. We went through the entire third parak of the Masechta. We had treifas regarding animals. We had treifas regarding birds. But then as you move down the animal kingdom and you move to the fish and certainly the shratzim, there was never a discussion of, right, should we check the intestines of the fish to see whether or not there's a nekev, and so forth and so on. And truth of the matter is that there's some anatomical characteristics that are shared between fish and the higher order animals, but obviously, the question of the Gemara over here is not in the classic sense of is it treif or is it not treif. What is the Gemara's question? Rashi says it over here so succinctly with just one word. Mahu says Rashi shiitamu. The only issue over here, and by the way, also, I failed to make the most important point, the most basic point. You don't shecht a fish, meaning buy a bird and buy an animal, you shecht it in order to remove its life force. Buy a fish, you don't shecht it. So again, I know I'm hitting this point very hard, but in other words, the Gemara's question over here is not legabe, kosher, not kosher. The point of the Gemara over here is regarding Tuma, right? Rashi says it all but with one word. Is it subject to Tuma? Meaning, we have just established that for a fish to become subject to Tumas Ochlin, it has to be dead. And heading towards death, right, according to Beis Shammai, it's in the net and you just pulled it out of the water. Good, that's Beis Shammai. According to Rabbi Akiva, it's flailing on the boat. Good, that's Rabbi Akiva. But according to Beis Hillel, it has to actually be dead in order for it to be subject to Tumas Ochlin.
Is there a prohibition against eating live fish?
So the answer is yes, but the answer also is it's not a clear-cut prohibition, meaning it probably falls under the category of Bal Teshaktzu. It's not Aver. It's not Aver Menachai. Right. Bal Teshaktzu was the issue in the Torah of...
Don't be gross.
Right, don't be... Thank you. You said it perfectly. Right, don't be gross. So it's right, and it's not even the Isser Bal Teshaktzu is not an objective Isser, it's a really subjective Isser. What's gross? It's a good question. So the Gemara over here now wants to know if, let's say, a fish now demonstrates simane trefa, can we now say that halachically it's dead and therefore subject to Tumas Ochlin? That's the Gemara's question. So tibay laman dam trefa chai, tibay laman dam trefa enachai, and once again, the Gemara revisits the most basic question that we asked in the third parak of the Masechta. Is a treifa now going to be able to live its last this next year, or is not able to survive the next year? So by Tibay Laman, Dama Treifa Chai Behema, Hu Dinafisha Chiyusa, Valdagam Gulan Fisha Chiyusa Yolo. So look, when it comes to an animal has a very strong life force. And so even though it's a treif, and even though it may live for more than a year, but over here with the fish already having starting with a lesser life force, so maybe the treifa will render it dead immediately, and therefore it's subject to Tumas Ochlin. Or maybe we can make the argument that, look, even if what treifa is for an animal is something that will extinguish its life within the next year, within this year, but when it comes, but maybe, however, still, by an animal, how do I end its life through shechita? Which again is reflective of the idea that it has a very strong life force. Ma she'en ken, when it comes to fish, you don't even have to shech the fish. So maybe there, a treifa is not going to necessarily be an indicator of it not, of its, if it's being alive or not being alive. Take the Gemara leaves this question unresolved. Hitila nefa, Rabbi Yochanan amar chabo kechelev, Amar Rabbi Shimon malakish amar chabo kechelev chaya. Okay. Let's say what came out of the animal is an nefa. A rachmanus was a miscarriage, and so what came out of the animal is a fetus that did not come to term and did not survive pregnancy, and so now the chelev of this animal, is the chelev of this animal going to be classic chelev, which means an isser da'araisa and an isser kares, or is it not going to be considered classic chelev? Now it's interesting over here. The Gemara brings down machlok to Rav Yochanan Meish Lakish. Rav Yochanan says that is its chelav chelav behema, which means like I described just a moment earlier, right? Classic chelav. And according to Meish Lakish, chelav kechelav chaya. Now that's an interesting expression. Chelav chaya is mutter, and the Gemara over here is suggesting that the chelav of this animal is mutter. So Rashi right away jumps on this, and Rashi says no. According to Reish Lakish, the Gemara is not really entertaining whether it's mutter or usser. What the Gemara is entertaining over here is it an isser kares or is it not an isser kares? Right? Rashi, on the Dibra Maschal of Kechel Chaya, the Einbo Ela Isser Nevela, Shein Shchitaso Matarasso, Avachelbo Kibisaro. Look, it came out as an Eiffel, which means to say now that obviously it was not shecht in conjunction with its mother, which is what we discussed in yesterday's daf, and on top of that, but at the same time, however, it's not contained in an animal that it itself can be shechted, meaning the animal's an eifel. It was miscarried. So, according to Rav Yochanan, it's chelav. But according to Reish Lakish, it's no different than the actual fetus itself. What would be the prohibition of eating said fetus? Meaning we're talking about a fetus that was miscarried. So it's a nevela, exactly. And so the chelev of this animal, according to Reish Lakish, would also be a nevela. So, granted, by the way, that the Gemara presents it as if it's a question of Isser versus Mutter, but it's not really, says Rashi. It's really a question of, is it an Isser Kares, or is it just a lav? So, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Chabo Kechelev Behema, Rabbi Shimon Lakish Amar Chabo Kechelev Chaya. So, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Chabo Kechelev Behema, Avira Garim. And again now, what becomes the issue over here is, what gives a fetus its status of being its own separate and independent animal? So according to Rabbi Yochanan, it being born, but not just birth, but birth as a viable entity, that is what gives it its status. And so its chelev is not going to be, sorry, its chelev is going to be considered the status of chelev because it was born. Even though it was born, forgive me, I misspoke the way I presented it just a moment earlier. Even though it was born as a non-viable entity, but it was born, and that's going to give it the status of chelev. And according to Reish Lakish, it is not enough to just simply be born, but it has to be born and it has to come to full term. The only those two give the status of the chelev, the full status of chelev of an animal, which would be an isser kares. That's one way to present, the Gemara presents it a different version. Everyone's in agreement that if the fetus inside did not come to full term, and it was miscarried before it came to full term, nevertheless, the fetus is not going to have the status of fetus. Everyone agrees. Ki plige echad ha'oshi yadu l'mei behemah v'talsh chelev shel ben tes chai v'achal. So, what if you were to, and I know this is a strange scenario, the Gemara over here is just asking it much more from a conceptual standpoint. What if you take your hand in, take out, not the fetus, but just simply the chelev of the fetus that was in utero? Rabbi Yochanan Machabel kechelev behemah chadashim gamei. According to Rabbi Yochanan, this is now considered status-wise full status chelev with an esekaris, and Rishon LeLakish Amachabel kechelev chaya chadashim vaavir garmei. And Rishon LeLakish says that the chelev is that of is not does not have full status of chelev, meaning at this juncture it's just nevela, or maybe we can call it Avram and Achai. You can quibble, but it's certainly not going to have the status of chelev. It only obtains the status of chelev where full term and delivery, and going outside of its mother. The Gemara over here quotes a drasha. Now, to say it succinctly, basically, there's no iser chelev on a fetus. We learned it out based on psukim regarding carbon ashram. The reason why is by carbon ashram. Carbon ashram can only come from a male animal. It doesn't have a fetus. That's just the nature of being male. So the Gemara learns out from there that any chelev from any fetus is not going to be subject to the iser of chelev. Yes, we're learning out something that is possible from something that's impossible, done in efshar mishi efshar. But anyway, to say it succinctly, the Brisa says that chelev of a fetus is not chelev. Now, bishlam l'didi hanu de'etzer chalamote. So Rav Yochanan says, for me, I understand I need a drasha. But el didcha ma'itzerich. So, but according to you, Rish Lakish, why do you need a drasha? It didn't even exit the world. You don't need a drasha. Amalei tam didi nami ma'acha. Rish Lakish says, what do you mean? This is my drasha. Meaning, what do you think I got the halacha from? I got it from this particular brisa. Igad Amina, the Gemara has a slightly different version of the exchange that we just went through. Eisvei, Rabbi Shimon Malakish, Rabbi Yochanan, Achilav Shtei Klais, Amurz Baal Shem Mutzim Mechlau Shlil. I've called Mutzim Mechlau Shlil. So once again, the drasha tells us that there's no Isur Chela by the fetus. Bishlam Lididi Mishum Hachimiyate Rechmana. So Reish Lakish over here now uses the brisa to support his position. You see what the brisa is saying? The chela of the fetus is not chela. Like I'm saying, but el didcha li karev. But according to you, however, what's the issue? Meaning, according to you, it is chelev. Amalei mida dehava mechusar zman. So Rav Yochanan says to Reish Lakish, look, I hold that it's chelev, but it's not something that you can offer on the mizbeach. Consider, you have an animal that's born. Can you offer that animal the day that's born on the mizbeach? It's mechusar zman. It's premature. You have to wait 8 days. So if you have to wait eight days postpartum, you certainly can't bring the chelev of the fetus inside the animal. Meaning, I halachically regard it as chelev, but you can't bring it on the mizbeach. It's mechusar zman. It's premature. Okay. Amar Rabbi Ami Ashoches Atreif Omasaba Ben Teskai. Okay. We get now to next section of today's daf. Really a fascinating discussion in the Gemara regarding the following. Okay. As we have now discussed over the course of this perek, we are discussing the parameters of dependency and independency of a fetus inside of its mother. If it is not full term, we learned in the Mishnah, everyone's in agreement that it's dependent on the mother, Yishech the mother, so the fetus goes along for the ride. And even at full term, but it's not alive inside the mother, there too, there's an agreement that this fetus is dependent on its mother. When I say dependent, you understand, it's not alive, but just simply meaning it's not an independent entity. And there too, everyone agrees. Where do we have the point of disagreement? Where the fetus inside is at the point of full term, and it's chai and it's alive. So the Chachamim say that if you shech the mother, you've also shech the fetus as well, as we've discussed now countless times, and Rav Meir disagrees. Rav Meir says that when the fetus now has arrived at the point of being full term and it's alive, it's an independent entity. We already explored just the other day, I think yesterday. Yes, yesterday. We already explored the question of whether or not, according to Rav Meir, can I shecht this animal in utero, right? Surgically shecht it in utero. Good, the Gemara left that as an open-ended question. But certainly, according to Rav Meir, now it's an independent entity, independent of its mother. Good. Gemara now wonders as follows. Here we get to another fascinating question in the saga of Ben Pekua. Let's say right now, currently the mother, even though she is pregnant and expecting, and she's at full term with the fetus inside of her. The mother now is already been established to be a treifa. Now, generally speaking, we don't know these things until after Shechita, but let's just assume right now we know. The mother is a treifa. Now, and I shecht the mother. Is that Shechita now going to have any kind of benefit for the fetus inside the mother? It's a great question. Now, we can ask the question for a mayor, we can ask the question for the chachamim, meaning the question is good for both.
We have said already that Shechita is Shechita for
it. It really is from perspective.
We have not explored this question previously.
It really is from being matame.
Huh?
It really is from being matame, right? Shechita.
The question is very basic. The question is the Shechita going to work for the fetus inside?
That's been pekula. So what's the difference here between this?
Because the Shechita is not going to be effective for the mother. The mother is a treifa.
Oh, it's not even mother.
Okay, good. You're right. So, Amar Rabbi Ami, Hashochet is a treifa masa b'ben tes chai. So, let's say you shech the treifa, and inside the mother, who we know is a treifa, is an animal at full term and it's alive. So, l'divrei ha'oser, so now Reb Meir, who generally speaking is more machmir, so matir. So over here, he's going to be mako, right? Because they are separate entities. So, in other words, the shechita of the mother will not affect the fetus inside, and so therefore the fetus inside remains an independent entity. Obviously, according to Reb Meir, you're going to have to shech the fetus inside, but good. Now, l'divrei hamatir oser. But the Gemara says something fascinating. But according to the Chachamim, who view the fetus inside as a dependent entity of the mother, so what did you do for the mother? You shechted the mother, but that was a shechita of a treifa. So you know what that represents vis-a-vis the fetus? The shechita of a treifa. The shechita of a treifa, although preventing it from becoming an avela, does not allow it to be eaten. And so therefore, according to the Chachamim, no good. No good. Now, you can't eat it. You can't eat it. Now, Rava Amar, Divrei Hamatir, Nami Mutter. Dal Simanim Ichshra Bei Rachmana. Now, Rava says, well, the Divrei Hamatir, this too would be Mutter because Dal Simanim Ichshra Bei Rachmana. And remember what we said just yesterday, and we're repeating it again today. When we say that the shechting of the mother is beneficial for the fetus, how do we say it? So again, in the way the Achronim present it, and I know, yeah, I've been on this topic for a while now, but the way the Achronim present it is that there are two ways to say it. One way to say it is that when you're shechting the mother, you're also shechting the fetus as well. I understand you're only shechting the simanim of the mother, but the fetus now being part and parcel of the mother is also getting a shechita as well. Or the other way to say it is that no, when I'm shechting the mother, the fetus inside doesn't need a shechita. In other words, it's need to have a shechita simo simply as exerus akasif, it's inside of the mother. What the Gemara now over here is proposing is that Rav is suggesting that no, even if I subscribe to the Chachamim, I can make the argument over here that the mother's a treifa, but you know what? That doesn't mean that all is lost for the fetus. Why? Dalet simanim achshar bei rachmana. The Torah says that vis-a-vis the shechting of the fetus, there's a choice. You have a menu option. I can either shech the mother in order to arrive at the fetus, or I could shech the fetus itself. In other words, either way would be a valid shechita for the fetus. Either mother's shechita didn't work because the mother was a treifa. Okay, so that avenue shut down. But now what presents itself is a second avenue, and that's going to be the shechita of the fetus as well.
It's a hybrid between Chachamim and
but he's explaining it within the shechita of the Chachamim.
And this Rebbe Kor could possibly be a treifa afterwards. That is a real question.
What?
This Rebbe Kor that you're going to shecht now with the third and fourth simon.
Yeah.
You'll have to be boydekut for the treifa.
That's fine.
If the mother would have been kosher, then this Rebbe Kor would have been eaten.
Right.
Now because the mother is treif, this could become considered treif on
its own. Possibly. Again, another larger question, which the Gemara doesn't really deal with, but it's clear from the Gemara. Gemara assumes, why not suggest that the shechita of the mother, even though the mother's a treifa, should be valuable for the fetus inside? Meaning, even though the mother you're not allowed to eat, but as we just pointed out a moment earlier, it is a good shechita, meaning for the mother, prevents it from being a nevela. So why can't that shechita then serve for the fetus inside? The fetus is not a trefa. So for the mother, let it be a shechita to prevent nevela. And for the fetus inside, let it be a full-fledged shechita.
Which, according to Chacham, they did that when the fetus put their hands in and out. They say it's from nevela becomes trefa.
But that's, I understand
because
that.
They extend the benefit.
Come to me afterwards. We'll discuss it. That's a different mechanically that operates differently. We're talking about where the fetus is inside. Okay, Amar Chista. Hashochet is the trefa masa bementes chai ta'on shechita. So, you shechted an animal. The mother's a trefa, but inside of the mother you had a 9-month fetus, full term, alive and well. So the fetus inside is going to require shechita. V'chayv ezor l'chayim v'keva. On top of that, there's also a requirement of giving matnos kahuna, the portions to the kohen. Later in our mesechta, we're going to be dedicating an entire perek to the discussion of giving these portions to the kohen. V'imeis tarum milatame b'masa. And if it dies without shechita, so it is not going to be subject to tumah. It's not going to be a nevela. Now, the reason why it's not going to be a nevela is because it was already shechted. In other words, it was shechted through its mother. Now, the Gemara says, at this point in time, this brice is confusing. Is it not? It is confusing. So, Amale Rav Aton Shechita Kaman Kareb Meir. So, on the beginning, on the front of the brice, we said it requires its own shechita, the fetus. And that sounds like Reb Meir, correct? Right. And on the other hand, so the imeis tar milatame b'masa Kaman Kareb Banan. And then meanwhile, we said that when the fetus subsequently dies at a later point in time, well, it's not an avela. Do you know why it's not an avela? Because it's shechted. When was it shechted? With its mother. But it's shechting with its mother. That's going like the chachamim. So v'latamech, hadid ni rabbi, I'm sorry, keman karabanan. So the Gemara says, good, so this price is thoroughly confusing me. Good. U'latamech, hadid ni rabbi chiyah shochet esat trefa masa bementes chai taun shechita, v'chai v'zor l'chaim v'keva, v'imeis taur milatamech b'masa. So, once again, the Gemara now quotes another price, which effectively is the same points. And again, the Gemara points out, the confusion is also the same. So, Tam Shechita Kaman Kareb Meir. On one hand, the requirement of Shechita for the fetus, that's like Reb Meir. V'imeis Tahor Melatame Mamasa Karabanan. So, and that's going, and the fact that it's, when it dies, it's not a Nevela, because it already was shechted with its mother, that's going like the Chachamim. So, Halokasha, Rabbi Chia Im Kvar Matzo Meis Kamar. So as far as the Brice of Rabbi Chiyah is concerned, so maybe what we could be talking about is where it was discovered dead inside, which even according to Reb Meir now, is means that it was in fact shechted in conjunction with its mother. But according to you, for sure it's going to be difficult. So and the Gemara says, because I subscribe to the following, meaning that when the mother was shechted, let's assume like the Chachamim, the Chachamim say that even the fetus inside that's at full term and alive is still part and parcel of the mother. And when the mother is a trefa and I shecht the mother, so that shechting won't work for the fetus inside. Good. But as we said just a moment earlier, and now the Gemara is repeating and reviewing again, Dalet Simanim Achshar Bei Rachmana. For the fetus inside, there are two options of how to shecht it. One is through its mother. But here it didn't work because the mother was a trefa. Two is going to be after the delivery of the fetus, after the shechting of the mother, you shecht the fetus as well. Because its possibility to be shechted can be manifest either through the mother, and if that wasn't viable, then the fetus itself. Dalet simanim achshar bei rachmanim. So good. And so now, wonderful. So now we have wonderful pshat in the brisa. The entire brisa is going like the chachamim, and as far as the idea of shechting the fetus in of itself, independent of the mother, the Chachamim themselves can even subscribe to such an idea. And now, Rabbi Zera goes and overhears Rav Asi saying over the same halacha, Amar le'yiyashav v'chein amar Rav Yochanan. He says, that's excellent. What you just said is pshat in the Braisa, which we just learned together, Rav Yochanan also subscribes to the same viewpoint. Now, it's interesting that when he says, and Rav Yochanan agrees with you, so he didn't say, and Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish, he just simply said Rav Yochanan. Now, What does that mean regarding Reish Lakish? Did Reish Lakish agree or disagree? Now, I understand, by the way, it's a very technical question the Gemara is asking over here, meaning generally speaking, Rav Yochanan is the accepted viewpoint, but still the Gemara wants to know, what was Reish Lakish's viewpoint on it? Bechlal tepalagal Rav Shimon Lakish. So the Gemara says, now it sounds like Reish Lakish was arguing. And basically what he was asking, is Reish Lakish arguing with that viewpoint? Was he silent at the time when Rav Yochanan espoused his viewpoint? Why didn't he argue? So, Mashe Havishayile, Vishastikle, Vika da Amri, Mashe Havishasti Vishastikle. The Gemara brings in two versions of exactly why Reish Lakish was silent at the time when Rav Yochanan was espousing that viewpoint. Normally, silence means shtika kehoda'a. You usually means that silence is acquiescence. But over here, it could very well be that Reish Lakish disagrees, and his silence does not necessarily mean that he agreed. Could be one of two possibilities. One possibility, says the Gemara, is Mishe Havishahile, with a hey. And what does that mean? Rashi explains. Rashi, beautiful Rashi. Menagos of Reish Lakish Kisha Omer Rav Yochanan. Shmu Sheina Modelo Shah Reish Lakish Shah Oshtayim Kodem Sheyachok Alav. Right? Reish Lakish had excellent self-control, wonderful discipline. Right? Rav Yochanan said something, and Reish Lakish waited a moment. In other words, wanted to process the information, and who knows? Rav Yochanan may process the information as well, and Rav Yochanan may argue. And so what Reish Lakish always did is he always waited before responding. So, Ulai Yachzer Bo, Uvesoch Kach Yatzer Rav Asi. And in the meanwhile, Rabbi Asi left the Beis Medrash. So he heard Rav Yochanan make the statement. He saw Reish Lakish being quiet. So Rav Yochanan's silence, was that acquiescence? Not necessarily. In other words, Rav Asi just walked out of the Beis Medrash too early. And maybe Reish Lakish's response came at a later point in time. Good. So he doesn't really know whether or not Reish Lakish argued, didn't argue. So it's beautiful, that first version. The second version of the Gemara is that it's not Mashe with a hey, but Mishte with a tough. And Shosem Mayim Haya Kishama Rav Yochanan V'toch Kach Yatzer Rabbi Asi. The second explanation, by the way, there's no Musser coming out of the second explanation. Reish Lakish was simply right now unavailable to talk as he was currently in the middle of a drink. So, and Rav Asi walked out of the Beis Medrash and didn't hear Reish Lakish's response only because Reish Lakish was currently nursing a wonderful coffee. At least that's how I envision it. Okay. I think the Gemara is just using that language just because it's Nevela. And Metame Bamasa is just another way to describe Tumas Nevela. I think so. But it's a good diak. Rabbi Shimon Shazuri Havashase, I'm sorry. Rabbi Shimon Shazuri Amar Afila Vechule. Okay, I know we're behind, but we're also behind. So if it's okay, I'll just go a little bit further today and we'll try to wrap it up. As I pointed out, this is the last stop on Ben Pekua, formally. And so the Gemara over here now discusses the machlokas we saw in yesterday's daf between, seemingly a machlokas, between the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon Shazuri. Again, Yeshach the mother, there was inside of the mother a full-term fetus that was alive. What's the halacha? It's shechted. It is shechted. It's delivered. It's walking around. It's shechted.
In the Mishnah, there were three opinions.
There first was the opinion of Rav Meir, then was the opinion of the Chachamim, and third was the opinion of Rav Shimon Shazuri. Good. And so what the Gemara now wants to know is that Rav Shimon Shazuri sounds awfully similar to the Chachamim. They're basically in agreement with one another. And so is there any? There has got to be some differentiation. Rav Shimon Shazuri would not present itself in a Mishnah as if he's arguing, when meanwhile, there doesn't seem to be any point of argument. Gemara goes on to explain. So, hainu tanakama. So the Gemara asks exactly this question. I don't understand. Isn't there no difference between the Tanakama and Rav Shimon Shazuri? And there's got to be. So the Gemara says, yes, there is a difference. And that is as follows. Let's say that the fetus inside was full term, it was alive, it was delivered, and it started walking. So now at this point in time, we have but a subtle, it's not so subtle, but we have a difference between the Tanakhama and Rebbe Shem, and Shimon Shazuri. They both are in agreement that the animal is shechted. In other words, we start with the fundamental principle that it's nita b'shchita simo. But now, at this point in time, it's really strange. I know I keep I keep repeating this point, but it's so true. It's really strange. You have a shechted animal that's not only now alive, but walking around. And now what? My neighbor watches me club this animal on the head and kill it and then cook it and then eat it. And then my neighbor's going to look at me awfully funny. What's that Sugarman guy doing? That's so strange, right? I thought he was observant, right? Okay, strange custom. And so, and the Gemara points out like this. According to the Tanna Kamma, once it starts walking, it requires shechita. Not mi ikar hadin, not mida araisa, but mida rabbana, meaning marasayin. The post can discuss. Okay, that's a good question. But right, that's you're asking well. But but it requires the shechita midrabanan. And so here you have now, according to the Chachamim, a maris ein halacha, a chshad halacha, in which because of the perception that's created, where I have an animal and it's full and it's alive and it's walking, and now I don't shecht it and I'm eating it. So again, there are always two problems when you have perception issues. One issue is he'll look at me askance and say, I thought he was a ben Torah. I thought he was right shomer mitzvos. I have to revisit how I look at Sugarman. Or the other possibility is that he thinks I'm observant, and he'll say, oh, there's no shechita requirement. Who knew? I thought there was this thing called shechita. Rumors, allegations. Who knows? Who knows? Anyway, there's always those two issues. So according to the Tanna Kamma, once it starts walking, you have to shecht amid the Rabbanan. And Rabbi Shimon Shazuri says, no such gezerah. And is it strange? Is it somewhat unusual? We're having an argument whether there is or there isn't a gezerah. Yeah, it's a little bit strange, but this is not the first time we've seen a machlokas as to whether there is a gezerah or whether there is no gezerah. Amr Misharshu Ledivra, Amr Choshen Lezera Av. The Gemara now revisits a halacha that we saw earlier. And oh, by the way, we'll discuss in just a moment whether or not the halacha does or does not follow like Rabbi Shimon Shazuri. We will come back to that. The Gemara revisits a halacha that we learned earlier, and that is the following. What if now you have a ben pakua that breeds? The Gemara now assumes as follows. If the ben pakua is breeding with another ben pakua, the resulting child is a ben pakua. Okay? In other words, again, this is where it gets fascinating. You have one animal that is halachically dead, that breeds with another animal that's halachically dead, so you know what comes out halachically? A dead animal. And so you can have a farm of ben pakua animals running around. Well, where does it get complicated? It gets complicated in the following. Let's say where you have the father is a ben pakua and the mother is not a ben pakua. And so now, halachically, what do I have? I have a cross between a ben pakua and a regular animal. Can I shech that offspring? So the Gemara says, that's a really good question. And the Gemara says, Amr Rav Misharshil, L'divrei Omer, Choshen L'zera Ab, Ben Pekua, Habal Behem Amal Yasa, Havlad Ein Lo Takana. The Gemara says that the offspring is not going to be unshechtable. And once again, I turn back to Rashi over here for an interesting analysis of why this offspring is unshechtable. Coming from its father, now, the Gemara, by the way, I didn't explain this well, Choshen L'zera Ab. Are we concerned for the input of the father? Now, of course, we know that biologically you need a father. That's a reality. Halachically, however, do we regard the father's input or do we not regard the father's input? This will play a major role in the upcoming parak. In the fifth parak of Chulin, we're going to be talking about Osav Espino, Nanalo Shecht, mother and offspring on the same day. Is that also true for father and offspring? Stay tuned as that will be a major discussion in the upcoming parak. Let's assume right now that the father's input is halachically valid. So now what is this offspring? It is now a hybrid of a father who's a ben pakua, who has no simanim, and a mother who is a behema malyasa, a regular, again, just give me a moment, and a mother who's a regular animal. Rashi over here writes, Ein lo takana, Rashi, I'm reading Rashi, Sha'arehu kamisha ein lo ela siman echad mitzad imo. Now how many simanim do this have? So if you want to take it from me, I'm not explaining it genetically. I'm just using genetics over here as just a nice way to describe it. So in other words, so generally speaking, you have 23 from the mother, 23 from the father. And over here, the mother now is giving her shechita chromosomes. I'm just saying it b'derech mashal. I don't mean it literally. Mm-hmm. But the mother's giving her shechita chromosomes to the baby, and the father's not giving any shechita chromosomes to the baby. So from a shechita standpoint, so now this offspring has only half of its simanim. Now, if you remember Rashi that we did a little bit earlier in the Masechta, so we could say it in one of two ways. Each siman now is only half, or another way to say it is, of the two simanim, he's got one, but not both. Okay, understood. But let's deal with the Rashi right here. Rashi writes, Sha'arei kemisha inlo el siman echad mitzad imo, sha'asimna shemi shachut ve'omedhu, shein shchita noheg esbo. So one siman is shechtabol, and one siman is already been shechted. And now, ubeima bechad siman lo miskashra. Now, an animal with one siman, no good. V'hai simana basra, lo mitzaref bekama. Now, why not just simply say that I take the one siman that was already shechted and combine it with the siman that we're going to shecht? Rashi says we can't do that. Why? She'in lecha shehiya gedol mezeh. We have just arrived at one of the greatest shehiyas ever known to shechita, where its first siman was shechted a generation earlier, and the second siman now is shechted now. And Rashi also says, and here's also what we're going to have to say. We cannot combine this with a position that we already learned earlier this morning, which is, why don't we say that, how do I shecht the fetus? Well, one of two possibilities. Either through its mother or through its own simanim. So he doesn't hold, Rashi says you have to add that to this discussion. Rav Misharsha doesn't hold to that position, and so therefore the fetus does not have its own independent simanim, and its simanim are only contingent on its parents, where one simanim has already been shechted, and one currently needs to be shechted, and you can't combine the two because of the iser of shehiya. You talk about an interesting Rashi. Really, really interesting Rashi. Okay, we'll stop over here. We are way over, but we have a little bit more to go. Tomorrow we just finish up with just simply coming down to the halacha regarding whether Ben Pekua HaYifris HaGabi Karka requires shechita, does not require shechita. That's halacha which we'll cover tomorrow. We covered a lot of topics today. Today was a lot. There was a lot of a lot of gemaras. Very difficult daf, and just we were quite frankly in a lot of different places halachically. Quick recap: we discussed whether or not the fetus inside the mother, halachically, from a tumah tahara standpoint, is one entity or two entities, whether we're mona rishon v'sheni, we're only mona it as one entity, machlokas between Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan. A question in the Gemara as to whether or not a ben pekua animal is in fact going to be susceptible to tumah even while it is alive, right? A mind-bending question of the Gemara, but again, because it has already been shechted, even though it's physically alive, is it going to be subject to tumas ochlin? The Rav Yochanan discusses that and links together the shitas of Rav Yosef Aglili together with Beit Shammai regarding fish. Gemara's question of whether or not there's such a thing as trefer when it comes to fish, vis-a-vis the halacha of susceptibility to tumas ochlin. The Gemara's question of whether or not the iser chalev applies in a fetus in utero, and the Gemara's machlokes between Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan on that question. Gemara has a lengthy discussion about the mother is a trefa and the mother has a fetus inside. Is the shechting of the mother who's a trefa going to have any effect, ill effect on the fetus inside? Perhaps a machlokas between Rav Meir and the Chachamim, perhaps not a machlokas. The Amoraim debate that very issue. And finally, the Gemara's discussion of a ben pekua who started walking on the ground, is there a rabbinic halacha, to shecht such an animal because of issues of maris ayin? And the Gemara says that's the machlokas in the Mishnah between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon Shazuri, and we'll finish up that topic tomorrow.